Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
It's time now for Green Thumbs in Canterbury, out and about with the Canterbury Horticultural Society.
Well, this morning we've got the lovely Julian Odering with us to tell us all sorts of exciting things about what we should be doing at this time of the year. And I'm hoping, Julian, you'll tell us a little bit about the family.
Yeah, well, good morning, Ray. We started off as Odering's Nurseries in 1929 here in our Barrington premises at 92 Stourbridge Street. And back then there was horse paddocks all around us. And my great-grandfather, Alfred, and Ray, his son, were builders, and they built a lot of the houses around here during the Depression years. And then after that, they started into building some glass houses, because that was really their main passion. And my grandfather, Ray, was known as a lily man. And Alfred was a great tomato grower. That's how they started off in little glass houses where the retail is now. And that was 1929. And then after that, in the 30s and 40s, we started supplying chain stores like McKenzie's, McDuff's, and some of the smaller garden centres around. And then in 1972, we started into retailing ourselves here on the site in Barrington Street. And since then, we've got five other garden centres in Christchurch. I'm fourth generation, my son's fifth generation, his kids and my siblings, their kids work here too. So there's it's still a family business, and we're very, very fortunate to be here in the Garden City.
It's an amazing background, isn't it? When you think back through the days of the Depression days, I guess.
Yeah, well, during the Depression, when they built the houses, that's how they got started here. They, with the sale of houses, they started the greenhouses from the sales of the houses that they built. And they built a lot of houses that are still here today around the Spraydon district.
Yeah, well, it's in a different district now.
Sure. It's mostly high-rise terrace houses now.
Yeah, well, that's happening a lot, isn't it? Post earthquakes, it seems to be only multi-story places going up.
That's right. And it seems a shame that we might be losing the Garden City image, but I suppose there's a lot of people coming to Christchurch from all over all over New Zealand, from Auckland, the Hawke's Bay. I speak to a lot of people in retail, and they tell me where they're from. So.
Yeah. Well, that's, it's amazing sort of that you've come forward to now. And now are you top dog now?
Oh, no, I'm not top dog. This is a family business and we do things in a family way. Back in the day, we used to sit down with a drink in our board meetings, and now we don't do that anymore, which is good.
I mean, one has to offer you a coffee.
A coffee. That's right. Yes, yes.
Yeah, fair enough. But it could get a bit heated, I imagine, after a few glasses of wine.
We're all very passionate about the business, so yeah. We just want to see it succeed into its 100th year, which is coming up in another couple of years.
That's amazing. Isn't what it is? Yeah, 1929.
That's right.
Yes. Heaven's sakes. That's great.
It's
wonderful. Now, you used to be in the North Island. Do you not bother with the North Island anymore now?
Yes. One of our great plans is to get up into the North Island, but we have found the going really going very, very tough. And we've still got one of our nurseries in the North Island in Hawke's Bay and one garden centre in the Hawke's Bay. We lost the garden centre with Cyclone Gabrielle. The water was right up to the ceilings, and we had to vacate that. The next day, all there was mud and apples, and all the plants had gone. So we were seriously underinsured for that. So we, that was a lesson we had to learn.
Well, I think that's a lesson we're all going to learn, aren't we?
One day. Well, I know that one pot goes on. Who knows?
Well, look, we've been through the earthquakes, and we all learned a lesson then as well. Don't get insured, we can be in trouble.
I don't know.
Anyway, two growing vegetables today.
Mm.
What should we be doing?
Well, you're quite okay still to grow any brassicas, radishes all year round. You've got broad beans, you've got all your beets, and your beets are a high source of iron. Apparently, they maintain there's about 40% of the people in New Zealand with a very low iron count. So beans and the beets are very good for that.
Of course, and parsley.
I am parsley, yes. And the other thing with food prices going up like they are, it's a good idea just to plant your vegetables. And it doesn't matter if you haven't got a place for them, a lot of sun, you can grow in pots and bulb crates, and anything that'll hold soil will be able to hold vegetables over the winter months.
Yeah, well, the ones that I got a few about 3 or 4 weeks ago, that certainly the silver beet and the Asian greens are going away, and they don't get a spot of sun.
Well, when I do work in retail, I have heard a lot of customers say they don't want a six-pack of cabbages or collies or broccoli or whatever, because they all come ready at the same time. So what we're trialling now at the Barrington branch is we're growing large six-cell packs of, plug trays of vegetables, and they're in 60 trays. So they're about 2-inch square sort of thing, and but they're round. The work space to go to squares, but they're in rounds because that's the only tray off of fine. But what you can do, you can buy whatever you want individually, six. So you just pick any six you like, and you put it in a little six cell pack, bring it up to the till, and then you can just keep planting as you want. And so you choose your own combo.
Yeah, and so I suppose because of that, you can plant some this fortnight, and then a fortnight later come back and get another six of something different, and you can just keep going on.
That's right, because we sow them every 2 weeks, so that's a good break between them. And it started off pretty slow, but it's starting to catch on now with a lot of people. Mm. And this spring we want to have them in all our garden centres in Christchurch.
Yeah, I thought it was the most wonderful idea when I saw it, and had quite a lot of fun, and I ended up having to get two lots of six packs. I got so enthusiastic.
Well, I think it will catch on because it gives the customer the ability to get what they want when they want it, and they don't have to have it all harvested at the same time.
And it's a wide range.
And a wide range. At the moment, I've got 8 trays in the range, but in the springtime, I'd like to put tomatoes in there as well, like a moneymaker, potentate type tomato, and parsley, and a few other things which are that go quite well in the springtime.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So, Amy, have you got anything?
So I've always wondered, how many stores are there in Christchurch now?
There's 5 stores in Christchurch, and there's one now in the North Island in the Hawke's Bay.
So the Christchurch stores in particular, do they kind of specialise in certain things? I've seen that like the Yorkhurst one tends to have a bit more in the way of water feature things, or at least it certainly has in the past.
Well, we're trying to make it that way, that we're going to be more store specific to certain places like Lynwood with people living up on the hills or more frost free areas. With Yoldhurst, with the subdevelopment that's going on that side of the city, being able to cater for shelter belt growers and that sort of thing, farmers. Barrington's traditionally always been sort of residential sort of customers and so on. So we're trying to make it more store specific as we go through. Yeah.
I do like that because it means if you go to the different stores, there's always something just a little bit different. And also you have an excuse to go to them all.
That's right. We're very lucky here at Barrington because we've got a very loyal customer base, and it's very nice seeing a lot of the customers that come with us. And I always say to them, thank you for shopping with us, because without them, we wouldn't be here.
100%. I mean, we've seen so many different plant stores go by the wayside.
Yes, it's not just plant stores, it's businesses of every sort, because the economy is on such a low at the moment, and we haven't come away unscathed from that either, and things have been pretty tough for us too, as it is for most businesses. But we've really, really got to make it to the 100 years.
Any big celebrations planned for the 100 years?
Oh yes, we'd love to do that. We've had a lot of people come through us in the last 100 odd years. Including a lot of school kids that I trained, a lot of apprentices that we've trained, and I still see a lot of those people coming through today. So it's really nice to see them when I do see them.
Do you still have an apprenticeship program?
Yes, we have. At the moment, we've only got one apprentice, so that's Zach, and he's a very, very keen man, and a lot of our customers know him and like him, and I try to get him to come to my talks that I do with some of the garden groups as well.
Yeah. So do you necessarily only have one, or is there only one that turned up that looked like it was the right sort of person?
Well, it just seems to me there's not many people, not too many young children or kids, interested in horticulture much these days. But he came to us straight from, I think it was Cashmere High School,
and
he
got really a very good program there.
Yeah, and he really wanted to get in straight away. So if you're really keen, we'd love to have good people.
Yes, well, I think that the way the world's going, we need to be a bit more self-sufficient, don't we?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And look, when the going gets tough, a lot of Cantabrians get into growing like fruit trees, strawberries, A lot of the edible crops, I think it's just one of the sort of people that we are. When the going gets tough, the tough get going.
Well, that's right. And that's what everybody did after the war and after the earthquakes. And, I mean, it takes something like an international problem to make us all wake up and think, oh, we need to be a bit more self-sufficient.
Oh, absolutely. And look, now's the time to start looking at planting garlic and various. We've got our fruit tree lists out and our rose lists and a few things like that. So come on in. We've got plenty of brochures that show you how to do certain sorts of growing of whatever you want, and they're very, very informative brochures that we have in the garden centres. So, pick them up and take them with you.
Well, you've got that lovely little monthly magazine that you put out. That, well, it does. It's quite informative, especially for people starting off.
It is. We used to have them four times a year, but it's mostly two lots now.
Is it three lots?
Two lots now. We don't have them every month because there's a lot of work that goes into making those, and they're well received. We try to take them to the CHS to let them out as much as we can so people know what we're all about.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a sort of a doyen of the city, really, aren't you? The doyens of the city have been around a long time.
Yeah, well, we have been around a long time, and we love giving to schools, we love giving to fairs and community groups. So we've always been a part of the community, which has been so important to us.
Yeah. Just digressing into fruit trees, is it really time of the year for people to start planting them now?
Our fruit trees come in June, so it's coming up very, very soon because they're deciduous. When they're deciduous is the best time to pop them up, which we do. We give them a spray for copper before they come into people's gardens.
And that's for curly leaf
yes, that's right, yeah. Fungal disease. And it just gives them a bit of a good start in life when they go into people's gardens. And, of course, with roses are coming up very, very soon too. And so they also, need to be sprayed before they go into people's gardens. So, but they'll be coming in May.
Yeah. There's quite I've never really quite understood the difference between potted and bare-rooted. Is there pluses and minuses on both sides?
For roses?
And fruit trees?
Well, they all come in bare-rooted and pot them up here.
Oh, okay.
Because we have a recycled potting mix, which we have, and we plant them up into that, and that gives them a good start. We don't believe in having plants and bare roots or selling to the customers in bare roots or plastic bags because they always struggle with drying out.
Oh,
so that's the reason why we always pot them up. And it also gives you the opportunity that if they don't sell all at once, they sell going into spring and summer as well. And often you have a few left over in the summertime as well.
Yeah, well, I've noticed that quite often there are fruit trees and things around still for sale in summertime.
Yes, there are.
Yeah.
But there's a good time it's a good time to think about what fruit trees you want. And we've got fruit tree lists here, and we'll put them aside for you because we're only getting them.
So you can actually order them.
You can order them, put them aside. You will put them aside for you.
Oh, that's dangerous. I call them my shopping lists. They're not the catalogue. They're not the brochures. They're my shopping lists because I've got two pear trees at the moment, and I'm like, do I need something else?
There'll be plenty to choose from. Yeah,
probably an apple tree or two.
Especially if you get in early.
Yeah. Actually, the apple tree front, do you get much in the way of the columnar ones, the like ballerina?
Yes, we do.
Because they're quite good space savers for people who are potentially interested in, not necessarily say a dwarf tree, but the ballerinas are quite, like I said, they're a column effectively, so they've got a different form.
We've got all different types. We've got double grafted, triple grafted, dwarf. Tall ones. Yeah, we got the lot.
Yeah, you name it. Well, you've got it.
That's right. And they generally trickle out over the year, and then we get them in June. Every day.
Yeah. Related to the fruit question, citrus trees. I'm really struggling with my lemon right now. Should I still be feeding it?
Yes, you have to watch out for feeding your citrus coming into winter time because you don't want a build up of ammonium. Probably one of the best citrus foods that I like to talk about this time of year. You can liquid feed if you wish, because a liquid feed is a quick fix, but it dissipates a bit faster as well. But it's also quite good for this time of year. But I always use Burnett's citrus food because I find it really good. But if you put it on, just put it on sparingly and just as they start to net, because citrus really suffers from magnesium deficiency.
Yeah.
And that's why you really probably want a citrus-specific fertiliser.
Yeah, I was dithering about whether to feed it again heading into the colder months, but
Well, if it's starting to look like the veins in the leaf are coming out, or it's starting to go pale, yes.
Yeah, it's starting much. Yeah, it's starting to go pale. So I'm like, oh, look, it needs some food.
Yeah, it's just going pale out of that.
Just be careful. You don't overfeed, and that's all going in the winter.
We do quite a lot of feeding of them. Well, Peter loves to feed ones in pots because we had our citrus in pots with the seaweed.
Right.
Stuff. Yeah. Whatever.
Ocean.
Wouldn't have a clue. It's seaweed stuff. I don't go and collect up my own seaweed, but.
It's not a bad idea. If you do put seaweed on plants, you have to watch out for the salt coming out of the seaweed. So it's you've got to be very careful by rinsing the seaweed quite thoroughly. Otherwise, you can get a buildup of sodium, which is most plants don't like. It's quite toxic to them, yes.
Now, I know a lot of people, I've heard a lot of people going down and they get all those big strappy seaweeds and soak them and do things. I buy the bottle.
It's probably a wee bit safer that way, but it's a very good tonic to boost the immunity of the plants, you know, with the trace elements and seaweed.
Yeah. Or we use a seaweed foliar spray for the chili peppers when we're growing. I grow hothouse chili peppers.
Oh, good, yeah.
We use a foliar spray just to boost the plant immunity because we don't spray for insects. We try and use beneficials rather than pesticides.
Well, certainly the likes of your seaweed type fertilizers, they are very good at strengthening the cell walls and a lot of those plants that can get bugs and quite easily. So we did a lot of trials on that earlier on, and certainly it's a good tonic to strengthen the cell walls to stop the bugs from getting in.
Yeah, because I imagine it's quite a balance for you. You've obviously got a lot of plants to look after, and you want to balance taking care of them but not necessarily using every toxic thing under the sun to look after them.
No, the most important thing is you are what you eat, and it's the same with the plant. You've got to give the plants the right NPK and also pH is very important to plants. So that's what I've been saying a lot to people that are struggling with, especially with the acid-based sort of plants like rhododendrons, ericas, blueberries, so on. They like a lower pH.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. Sure. More acidic, about 5.5, 5.8, somewhere around there.
Well, I tell you, the blueberries make me say that because we've been given a blueberry in a pot and we got a really lovely crop this year, but we've got to look after it. So we use the same fertiliser you use on rhododendrons and...
Yeah, well, acid-loving sort of...
Acid-loving.
Fertiliser is best, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Remember that for when we're feeding it?
Yeah.
Well, that's the main complaint that people have, that when their rhododendrons, camellias or whatever aren't doing so well and they've never been able to grow it, but they can grow other things quite well, that's the first thing you look at. And a lot of people don't know the pH of their soils at home.
It's really easy to test for it.
That is.
Kits and everything.
Yeah, we've got little kits in the retail here. They're very easy to use and you can get quite a few tests out of them, really.
It's kind of fun, actually, a little bit of your own home chemistry for a change.
Yeah, that's true. But we are what we eat. It's the same with plants. And a lot of people plant in a soil that's very poor and they expect them to grow. But you've got to give plants what they need, especially those sort of plants like tomatoes, peppers, capsicums, of course, because they do grow in hotter areas where they need a lot more food at that time. So, yeah.
Well, I say to people who are beginner plant gardeners and they're a bit worried, I say, look, think of what you do with your children. You feed them well. You give them good water and you put them to bed nice and warm at night and all those things. You don't. It's not rocket science.
No, it's not. But that's what the word nursery comes from, nurture.
Yeah.
Nurture, and that's what we do because we're all of us that care for plants are horticulturists.
Yeah, but we're not professional ones.
Yes, we are. Yes,
we are.
Yes.
Speak for yourself,
bro. No, not at all. We all have failures. And that's what it is when you're dealing with life. When you're dealing with life, you've always got to sort of get down to their level and figure out why they're not happy. And they do have a way of telling you, plants have a way of saying, hey, I'm not happy, I'm too wet or too dry, I'm not happy.
Yeah. Or something's eating me.
Yeah.
So just in the last couple of minutes, is there anything coming up at Odorings that people should come in and check it out for, come and check out?
Well, this time of year, I just talk about my own garden weave because I love doing bedding. A lot of people don't like bedding, but bedding is really quite nice for winter colour, especially the whites and yellows come into winter. We've talked about roses, fruit trees. Good time to plant garlic, as I said. Of course, Mother's Day is coming up, and mothers are very, very special people. So we have cyclamen. There's nice, a lot of orchids there. There's all sorts of gifts for Mother's Day. And don't forget Mum, because she's one of those special, special people.
And it's not too late for bulbs.
No, spring bulbs. There's still a few spring bulbs around. You can plant those right through till right through the month, really. Yeah.
It's good because I haven't got my daffodils in yet.
Well, no, I'm not planting mine yet because I want them a little bit later for the shows at the end of the year. Plant them too early, they flower too early.
Yeah, just remember with your bulbs, don't plant them too shallow. You need to plant them to the right depth, and there's a good guide on that and how to plant bulbs and how deep to plant them. So,
if you want good long stems, you plant the bulbs deep.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and
get little. So, if you are getting your daffodils and tulips for piddly little stems, you're not planting your bulbs deep enough.
And sometimes, if your daffodils, you don't get the flowers off, and it could be too high, and they've been too hot over the. And or plant too early, and they will not set up a flower very well, and they just go, they don't set up a flower at all.
Yeah.
So you plant daffodils, especially nice and deep.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Shirley. And any last words for the listeners?
I just want to say, if you shop with us, thank you very, very much, because we wouldn't be here without you.
Excellent. Well, lovely to talk to you again, Julian. And it's always good to get the advice.
Yeah. Nice to meet you too, Ray, and nice to meet you too, Amy.
Thank you so much, Julian.
Thanks.
What's happening at CHS this month?
A lot. We've already had Garden Life. We've got Garden Life coming up again in June, the 2nd and Wednesday the 3rd.
Yes. Do you know who's going to be there yet?
Not yet, but check out the website for more details. Bot Tots is on as per usual, Mondays 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m, term time only.
Yeah.
Gardening and nature themed activities for preschoolers.
They're all about flowers. It's going to be on at the end of the month.
Yes,
last Thursday,
the 28th of May.
And
this month.
I think if anyone really wants to know what's going on, you just look at the website, and that's where
details. Yeah. Yeah, each month they update what they're looking at. Mm. So they've done.
And something different each month. Anyway.
Yes, they try and focus on something different each month with to do with like growing, picking, and arranging flowers. So it kind of covers the whole celebration of blooms.
Yes. Yeah.
Speaking of flowers, press flower workshops from Debs, and she will be teaching you teaching you about what flowers are good for drying and pressing, including some ones you probably haven't thought about.
That's right, and how to do those delicate ones. I just think that she does things like cosmos and things like that.
Peonies.
And peonies, well, she does whole peonies.
I know, it's incredible. But that's
sad. So, yeah. It's just so they don't. I mean, if I try and press something, I just end up getting a mush. So it's knowing how to do things, isn't it?
So Debs will teach you all about that on Saturday the 16th of May in the afternoon. Same weekend, the next day, Sunday the 17th of May, botanical watercolours.
Yeah.
It's Kay Duncan, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that must be the same one, yes.
Yes.
It has been Kay. I mean, I went to Kay's one a couple of years ago, and it inspires you.
Yes,
inspires you to have a go at. Because a lot of people say, I'd love to start doing watercolours, but I don't need me to start. Well, she's great to get you started.
Well, heading into winter is the perfect time to be doing this kind of thing.
That's right, yes.
Composting, Saturday the 23rd of May, a gardening essential, honestly.
Absolutely.
This is a hands-on workshop. You'll learn practical skills for making your own compost, as well as looking at things like urban worm farming.
Yeah, it's very suitable for beginners.
It is.
Yeah.
Same weekend as that, Botanical Platters on Sunday the 24th of May. Yeah. Jane McCullough will be helping you create a gorgeous ceramic platter inspired by botanicals. And then the following weekend, terrariums.
And who's doing that on Rhonda?
Rhonda Kearns.
Yes.
So Saturday the 6th of June, 2 till 4 p.m, hands-on workshop to learn the essentials of terrarium design. And you'll build your own to take home. You have a glass bowl, plants, and a whole bunch of materials to create this beautiful display.
So everything's provided for this one.
Everything's provided.
Right. And once again, details in the book on the line, yes.
Yes, and there's whole lots more. So arranging
with orchids.
I know, it looks fascinating, doesn't it?
Who's doing that?
I didn't make a note, I'm sorry, Ray. You'll have to check out the website.
Yes, you'll check out the website for that. Because, you know, orchids can be quite tricky. They're quite stiff, so it's quite nice to see what people suggest. Yeah.
And then we've got botanical printmaking on the 13th of June, botanical embroidery on the 29th of June, more ceramics with a bud vase workshop on the 2nd of August, and there's more, lots more online.
Lots more.
I'm not going to read the full list.
No, that's right. And then we're finally going to go back to having a book.
Book reviews. Yes, yes, we had a month off because we had two interviews last month. But we are once again reviewing a couple of books on our next program, Monday, yes, the 25th of May. Ray, what are you going to be looking at?
I'm looking at Homegrown Fruit, and it's a practical guide, and it's written by Kath Irvine, who lives in the North Island, mm-hmm, and Jason Ross, who lives in the South Island.
Oh, I love that.
So it's very good for both islands.
Yes, I love that.
And certainly for locals, it'll be excellent for how to grow your own fruit trees in Canterbury.
Mm, nice. And I thought, inspired by Marion, our guest from the end of April, I thought I might review an edible flower book. This particular one I'm looking at is The Edible Flower, A Modern Guide to Growing, Cooking and Eating Edible Flowers by Erin Bunting.
Well, that'll be great.
Yeah, I think she's an Irish gardener.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Yes. Oh, well, that's all very exciting and lots of things to look forward to, Amy.
Exactly. So it's a wrap from us for this week. We'll join you again in a couple of weeks. Until then, stay warm and happy gardening.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us on Green Thumbs today.
Make sure to get involved with the Canterbury Horticulture Society in the lovely kiosk in the beautiful Christchurch Botanic Gardens.
The CHS offers many interesting workshops, courses and talks.
Check out what's coming up on Facebook and at chsgardens.co.nz.
And find past episodes on plains.org.nz and subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Let's get our hands dirty.